Well, welcome, everyone. This is another great opportunity to talk about the wonders of God, which are endless.
Endless.
I mean, I have Ray Reynolds with me, and my wife's maiden name is Reynolds. And
it's crazy.
We're oftentimes joking because in your family lineage, there are similarities in the names.
Yes.
Like first, last, middle, it's just pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe related to my wife in some way down the line. So we've started calling you her cousin. I said, we're going to go see your cousin singing today.
That's
so,
awesome.
Ray Reynolds, so glad to have you with us today. Thank you for joining me. And we're going to talk about the things of God. And real quick, just a little background. You've been in the industry in various different ways, directing, producing, camera operator. You've worked on shows for 20, 39 years plus, yeah. I guess, on Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, and The Voice, and I don't know what all. And what I love the most is you come and you worship with us. You're a singer. You have an incredible, strong voice. We love it when you come. And not only the quality of your voice, but the spirit in which you bring what you bring to the table, as it were. And we just always enjoy when you come with the heartbeat that you have for God and to worship. And you have been a part of ministry, you know, from time to time, at least with us.
Right.
And you've shared with me some of the things that you've experienced from the Word God has given to us, and it's He's given it to us, but it belongs to Him.
Right.
And I'm just so glad to have you here and to have you share whatever's on your heart and what God has done in your life. And I think we're going to be talking about some of the transformations
yes.
in our lives, and you've certainly had your fill or your opportunities of trying times, and you know, you know what it is to be challenged in your faith, and what it is to be challenged in business and in family and in, you know, every arena that most people are. So you're really someone wonderful to be able to sit across the table from and dialogue about the challenges of life and what God does, and then the different perspectives that we take on as the Word is revealed, maybe in a little different way, different light shined on the Word that we've maybe read and ways we've understood it, and then to come into the light of what I believe you would call a revelation,
yes.
Insight that really illuminates what we've believed and fortifies and takes us even beyond what we've understood. Sometimes we can get caught up in religion. We don't know it.
Yes.
I've certainly been there in the past, and God's mm-hmm. delivered me in so many ways and probably still is. You know, we go from glory to glory, faith to faith. We never stop learning. So pleasure to have you here, Ray. And
well, first of all, Pastor, it's good. It's great to be. It's an honor to be here. I am so blessed by PFC and the life that it's shown me and the blessings that it has shown me and the word that you preach every Sunday, it's changed my life. And there's so many things I could say, and I don't want to ramble, but one thing that really stood out to me, and it's really had an effect on me in making me hungrier and hungrier for God, is the empty canvas and this mm. empty canvas. God is doing something with an empty canvas in the good and in the bad. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. If I'm standing on the mountaintop, you are with me. I used to think, well, how could God possibly be with me? I must be doing something wrong in my faith. If I'm going and laying hands on the sick and they're not getting well, my faith must not be strong enough because God must not be with me if I'm going through these struggles and these challenges. I had a revelation driving to PFC. I was just praying and I just say, God, I'm so thankful to be at the church and I'm thankful to be leading, but God, I just want to know more. And I believe that there's this empty canvas that you have given me, but God, I want to know more. What does that mean? What is that? And I just, it was just such a conviction. Yes, the canvas is empty, but there is something on that canvas. And it's like a coloring book. It was, and I just saw it as plain as day. It's like a coloring book. You know, you open a coloring book and there's obviously no colors. It's black and white.
Right.
Those black and white, I've painted my promises on your canvas. That's mm-hmm. what he said to me. And you have to trust my promises no matter what you're going through in life. You have to trust what my word says no matter what you're going through in life. And when you do, when you trust me in the hard times, it's like you take out a crayon and you color in a certain part, and those colors are the your faith in action. And I'm thinking, I'm not smart enough to even think of something like that. I'm not, because, and it came from just being under your word. And there's so many questions. You know, I sit and I've watched you preach, and I want to raise my hand and ask questions. Fortunately, I've been with Jonathan and been able to ask him a bunch of questions. But I see this happening in my life, you know, where God is with me in troubled times. But I wanted to ask you, in the times where I've struggled is when I've gone to lay hands on the sick, and because I believe in that. It's the Bible, Mark 16 says, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And I've said to Jonathan, I went into a friend one time and I said, I'm going to pray for you. I laid hands. I said, Lord, by the stripes of Jesus, be healed in Jesus' name. Walked out. And I said, well, I hope that worked. And I thought to myself at that point, was it my faith? Because the man eventually passed away. Mm. And so I dealt with that guilt and that condemnation is it's my fault. And I wanted to ask you, because I'm not the only one that feels this way. When you go in and you lay hands on sick, now being under your teaching, I've realized that it's already done. It's already finished. It's already paid for. If we don't see it, can you elaborate for me on that? When I went into my friend and he didn't get healed, was it my faith? Was it something that I said or didn't do correctly that caused him not to be healed?
You know, that's a great question, and I can see why people would question and wonder that, because we tend to use our faith to get things done. We see the scriptures say, "Lay your hands on the sick, and they will recover." Mm-hmm. And I've seen that. I've seen both sides of that, where you lay your hands on the sick and they recover. I mean, miraculously healed. Mm-hmm. Had it happen in my life, in my family's life, with a lot of people we prayed for. But what about those people that don't? Now, we have to realize that there are two dimensions that we live in with faith. We can live in faith and we can die in faith. The word says these all died in faith. Now, it doesn't mean that they didn't get what God had for them, but they didn't see what they asked for in the way they thought they would. And of course, we all know you die and you're healed, and we could go there, but it's more than that. It's that God allots us a season, a time, all of us a time, and we know what we want God to do, but do we know what God wants to do? And faith isn't about us seeing what we want. Faith is about us believing in who he is.
Ooh, that's good.
And when we do, if they lived in faith, you believed with them. If they died in faith, you believed with them. Your faith wasn't any less regardless of the outcome. So if they died in faith, they're in the presence of the Lord and they're well. If they get healed, at some point in time, they're going to die in faith and be in the presence of the Lord. So it isn't that you lacked anything. Other than this, understanding faith. Faith not only gives us things, faith removes things from us. You know, faith takes, I think about it like this, it sometimes takes what we think is bad to make the good become apparent, become aware. Jesus, what he did on the cross was good and only good.
Right.
But he did it through a bad situation.
Right.
I mean, he was condemned and unjustly so. He was without sin, so he couldn't really have died, because only sin is responsible for death. The wages of sin is death, and only sin is the reason people die.
Right.
But we're not dying in sin, because our body dies if we're born of the Spirit. But we die in faith, or we live in faith. The whole point isn't what we see that we want to see, but it's am I living by faith? Bad was done to Jesus. in a sense that he was crucified, brutally treated, but he beat our sin. He beat our bad. He beat the evil and overcame it. When he was beaten, he was beating. When he was mistreated, he was treating us well.
Right.
But it didn't look like that. But it's within the internal and eternal works of God that our faith is revealed. So we don't always get the outcome that we're looking for, because the Word says it's not by sight, it's by faith that we live. So I've noted this. When I'm living by faith, the one thing I have to see is that I'm consistent in my faith. And what we have to understand is that faith doesn't always bring things around where we can see them with our eyes, because we can't identify what God's doing with our eyes. He does things, the Word says, beyond our comprehension, beyond what we would ask or think, according to the power that's working on the inside of us. So the reality is your faith was as strong with someone when you pray for them if they die in faith as it is if they get up out of bed and they're healed and they walk out well. You know, someday they're going to encounter that season where they're going to live by faith. And one day we all encounter that time where you die by faith. But all in all, we are living by faith. And we can't tell God that it didn't work. It so did work. And you don't know what healing happened on the inside. There's more than an outward need for healing. There's inward healing. I mean, your faith brings comfort. That's a healer. Your faith brings confidence. Your faith brings joy. And if someone, it's their appointed time to die, and you're bringing them the hope of faith for a great outcome, the only thing you've done is bring healing. The only thing you've done, your faith has done, is bring hope. I mean, you are healing the soul and the mind of that individual, even if it's their appointed time to die.
Right.
And this is what we have to remember. The steps of the just, the born again, are ordered of the Lord.
Right.
And we have to believe that. The Word says, whether we live or whether we die, we do it all as unto the Lord. And it all has to work out, and it does. So this friend of yours you're praying for, you know, he dies in faith, and he's in the presence of the Lord. Try to get that guy back. You know, try to get him in a healed, what we consider a healed state. He would rebuke you.
Exactly.
I know, because I've talked to people that have literally went into the presence of the Lord, and then they came back, and I remember one guy was just angry, frustrated. He wanted to remain where he was. That life is a far greater sense of awareness, of healing, and not even healing, but of wholeness. And faith brings us into wholeness. It does. I prayed for many people. I've seen eyes heal, diseases leave their bodies, things instantly disappear on people, you know, growths and goiters and ears and heart conditions miraculously healed. And some people that just went home.
Right.
But we have to believe that the thing we have to believe, this is the most important thing. It's not believing in something. It's believing him.
So good.
Not just what I believe, but who do I believe? You know, demons believe in God, but do you believe God?
Do you think people get confused by the passage where Jesus says, by your faith you are healed? Do you think they project that onto themselves and say, well, I must not have had faith, or you must not have
Absolutely.
Had enough. Do you think that's religion, or do you, what, because I've heard that in the circles that I've run in, the church circles that I've run in, well, you must not have had enough faith. You must not have believed. They must not have believed. And to me, that is so condemning. It doesn't reflect Jesus to me. I bought into it, obviously, because I went in there, and I'm thinking, oh, Jesus said, well, by your faith you're healed. Yeah. What do you say to people that say, well, Jesus said it's your faith that heals you?
Well, and that's a really good question. And understanding what the Scripture means and not just what religion tries to fashion it into is really, really important. All the old patriarchs had faith. I mean, Abraham had faith. The Word says these all died in faith.
Right.
Okay? They all died in faith. Didn't mean they didn't have faith. Faith is an encourager. Faith is what pleases God. So when you're hearing something that is condemning you, what does the word say about that? There is therefore now no condemnation.
Right.
So if someone is, the accusation is that you didn't have faith because the outcome they wanted or you wanted didn't happen, what does that have to do with faith in who he is? Because he never said you're going to get everything you want or everything you think you need. The word says God gives as it pleases him, just like a seed. The word said he gives that seed the body he chooses. We don't choose that. But see, that's really faith. Because if whatever we determine is right, and we say we're believing God by faith, well, you know if you're really standing in the faith. If what you see doesn't happen, and you still remain in the faith, and you say the simple phrase, God is with me, he leads me in the way that I should go, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Yep.
So I don't want for any good thing. You know, I don't want for any good thing. You know, when I was a kid, I was on a teeter-totter. I'm a little boy. I'm probably 5 years old, 4 or 5 years old. And I remember this vividly, probably because of the injury I sustained. But I remember this kid got me up on a teeter-totter. He was bigger than I was, so he was able to elevate me and keep me suspended in the air. And I remember him shaking this teeter-totter until I fell off. And he shook it and then jumped off, so the teeter-totter fell. I hit my head on the ground. My nose started to bleed. I started hemorrhaging. They rushed me to the doctor, and they did whatever they did. I don't remember that. All I remember is that fall. And then I had nosebleeds forever. I couldn't do a lot of strenuous activity. If I did, I'd have a bloody nose. And as a kid, you want to run and play and jump. And if I did too much of that or got too hot, my nose would bleed. And I tried all kinds of things, and I prayed and believed and believed and prayed and believed and prayed and believed, and it still bled, you know, and I just thought, I don't know why I'm not healed. Maybe I don't believe strongly enough. Maybe I don't have enough faith.
Right.
And I remember one day my nose is bleeding, and just a sense of awareness, just a revelation came into me, and I looked in the mirror, and I just said, stop bleeding and never bleed again. And immediately it stopped, and it never bled again. Not like that. I've had bloody noses, but that habitual, my nose had the habit of bleeding, you know, that continuous sense of fear and concern. The fear and concern went away first. It was like it doesn't really matter. But I'm going to tell you today. And through that waiting period of it not happening, I learned as long as I'm believing God for what his will is in my life, whether my nose bleeds or not, doesn't really matter. It just really isn't of interest to me anymore. I know what to do. You know, I know how to stop the bleeding, so it's no big deal. I'd still know that God saved me, he's with me, and if that's the thorn I bear in my flesh, I'm okay with it. When the fear and the concern went away, the healing came. Because I wasn't concerned whether or not my faith was going to, I had enough faith for my faith to heal me. All I was concerned about is that I could believe God regardless of what I was going through, and I still knew that he was with me. And whatever that was in me, whatever the doubt or the concern, or even maybe this is how I'm going to see God, this is how I'm going to know I'm believing, when that disappeared, God healed me. Now, to this day, if I had bloody noses, I'd still believe the same. But what it taught me was, it's not what you need. It's not what you think you need that's important. It's that you know that I am covering everything that I have for you. And what I need for you to have, you're going to have. And when you lose your fear of not having enough faith or not being powerful enough in your faith, then you're going to walk powerfully in faith. Because then I can experience all things. Paul said, I know what it is to be hungry, to be full. I know what it is to want. But he remained in the faith.
So
look at the patriarchs. They went through a lot of challenging times. You don't see them saying, well, because this didn't happen, because that didn't happen, I mustn't be in the faith. What they did is, like David, though you slay me, I'll serve you. I'm still living in faith because my confidence isn't in what you do through to me or what you do for other people because I ask you to, but it's who you are, who you're revealing yourself to be in me, and that I know to depend on you in all things. All things work together for good. To them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, whether I see it or not. True faith doesn't need a sign to know that it's alive. True faith knows that's what makes me alive, is my faith in who you are.
That is so good. And just the fact of me saying something like, well, I must not have had enough faith, would that move along the area of ego, pride?
Yeah, you know, it's
you know?
Yeah, well, and condemnation and uncertainty, which are not kin to faith.
Right.
Faith is confidence. But yeah, you know what? We have this sense, and again, religion can teach us. Religion teaches us idolatry.
Yes.
And what that means is something else must be ahead of God or in competition with God or alongside God. You know, when I grew up in the church, I kind of thought there's the bad God, the devil, and there's the good God, God.
Right.
And, you know, they're constantly fighting and there's this contention and, you know, God's always going to win because he's just a little bit ahead. But, you know, it's iffy sometimes. Until God revealed to me and said, there is no power but mine, and every power that is ordained is established Amen. By me, and it's for your good.
Well, that's one thing that being at PFC has really showed me, because I used to buy into the whole aspect of, oh, we're fighting against principalities of darkness all the time. And I remember, I believe you said one weekend that we put the devil up higher than God, and it becomes idolatry.
Yeah.
And it was such a revelation to me, because I always felt, oh, I've got to pray these demons away. I've got to, and then you really start studying Jesus and what he did in the garden. And he basically just said, it is written. And that was it. The devil had to flee. But all that aside, he has absolutely no power over us.
No.
Any power he has over us, we give him. Yeah. Would you agree with that?
Oh, 100%. 100%. And it is ego. You were talking about ego. And I'm going to address that just a little bit more here in a second. But ego is a religious status that we don't realize we have sometimes because we're born again, you know, and we are kind of superior in our faith, and everything has to just surrender to our faith. But we have to surrender to the faith of God in us. The faith of Christ. That's what we have to do.
Mm.
And not use faith as a, you know, as a religious idolatry tool, meaning my will be done. My faith. God now kind of, you know, the faith can, you have to watch, because it's almost like, you know, they would build a statue and that statue would represent servitude to them, even though they worshiped it. I'm going to come to you and you're going to do what I want you to do. And in your mind, there's a sense of, I made you, I created you. You're kind of subservient to me, even though we bow down and worship you. And we can tend to take that same attitude towards God. My faith commands you, Lord. No, the faith of God in us commands us to trust the Lord, to believe his way is perfect, that he's doing something we may not be aware of. And yeah, we can become a great point of ego and a great point of pride in the sense that we feel like we command God with our faith. And if he doesn't do it, we get upset. You know, God mustn't be here. And it's almost like someone that they're just throwing a fit and they're saying, oh, fine, yeah, I mustn't be good enough. And you don't mean that. You don't even mean that you're not good enough. But think about it. We come in sometimes, I watch people come in, they'll start praying for people. And the first thing they do, we're coming in faith in the name of Jesus. And then what do? They focus on the devil. I cast out this evil spirit. I rebuke the devil. Devil this, devil that. The devil's trying to do. The devil, you're not going to stop him. Devil, you're not going to. It's all devil. There's no God involved at all. It's man, his ego, and his faith coming in and is just going to take charge and take control. I had a great experience not that long ago. My wife got, we were on a trip, on a vacation for her birthday, and she got sick with some virus and just hit her, like a flu or something, just hit her immediately. And it's her birthday.
Mm.
And I so wanted to see the manifestation of God's glory revealed in that she would feel good, that she would be healed.
Right.
And she had to go to bed on her birthday. And I remember walking up to her bed and thinking, oh God, I just want to see your presence raise her up and her to just feel well. It's her birthday, you know. And a lot of people, I get it, you know, it's your birthday. Sometimes you don't feel good, but I really wanted her to be well. And I kneeled down at the foot of, beside her at the bed, and I just started worshiping. I didn't ask God one time. I didn't address the sickness. I didn't address her not feeling good, not one time. I just glorified God. That's all I did. I worshiped and praised the Lord. I don't know, it was a little while. I just kneeled there beside her bed, just worshiped. Actually, her not feeling well and her needing to be healed just kind of disappeared. And I just got captivated by worship and praise. I felt the presence of the Lord in me. And she opens her eyes and she gets up. She starts walking around, totally, instantly healed. I never asked God to heal her. I never prayed for the Lord to restore. I never asked for her to feel better. I never rebuked a devil or a demon or a spirit. I didn't rebuke the sickness. I just worshiped the Lord. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. Oof. She was miraculously healed. The rest of her birthday, she was totally well, instantly and completely healed. I never addressed the sickness. I addressed the Father. I worship God. I praise the Lord. And God, without me asking, He knows what we have need of. If we would let our heart be more intent on who He is, let our faith do its work, that we are steadfast. Let faith, James says, let your faith do what it needs to do in you. It's going to show you that time of that empty canvas you began talking about in the initiation of this podcast. Let it look empty. It's okay. God has a design. He has a plan. He cleared the way so we can do something that's going to be far more satisfying than just answering at our whims what we want God to do. Let our faith serve in the sense that we become steadfast and confident. I'm telling you, confident in who He is in us. God will do things we don't even have to ask Him to do. You know, don't take any thought what you eat, what you drink, what you're going to wear, what you need. But just know, God clothes the lilies of the valley. They don't work. They don't toil. They don't spin. Ray, we work too hard trying to be faithful and righteous.
Yes.
If we just become so captivated in the awness of God and who He is, how much more would the presence and the Spirit of the Lord do? You know, it's not just our faith making things right. It's our faith allowing, because God is so God and so good, He doesn't force us into a healing. He doesn't force us into obedience. He allows us the honor of believing and trusting in Him so He can work through us, that our faith opens us up as a vessel. God can do anything to us, but that's not what brings the joy and the fullness and the awareness. We'd still be counterfeit. We'd still be enemies mentally or carnally, absent from the presence of God. If He didn't work through our faith, we'd still be carnal minded. But when He works through our faith, then we take on a different mind. God will do miraculous things in our heart and our mind when we stop becoming afraid that He's not going to answer us or that we don't have enough faith. I don't need my measure of faith. I need His.
Right.
And that measure is just, God, whatever You want, Your kingdom come, Your will be done, I'll worship You. Jesus said, don't take thought of what you need. Just know that I'm with you in all things. Acknowledge me in all your ways and I'll direct your path. That's true faith.
Amen.
Not condemnation, not feeling condemned. And then the other thing is, we address the demons and the devils and say we're believing God. Are we? Are we fighting a battle that He already overcame?
He's already won.
Or are we sitting there addressing another God, an evil God, and trying to overcome Him? By
so
what
good.
Faith? The only way we overcome Him is by our confidence in who Christ is. This is the victory that overcomes the world and everything in it, our faith in Jesus. And you know, I think about this. Remember when Paul came to Jesus or was praying, and he says, Lord, he said, I've inquired of You three times. He said, a messenger of Satan has come to buffet me in the flesh. You know, and I believe wholeheartedly, based on what Paul said, and this, the messenger was condemnation.
He
said, I condemn the church. He remembered Stephen, and he remembered all that he did and those that he condemned and killed. He talks about it. And that memory of condemnation in his mind. And he said, what is the devil? He's the accuser of the brothers.
Right.
And he says, I've inquired of you three times to deliver me from this. Jesus didn't say, Paul, I'm going to rebuke that spirit. I'm going to rebuke that devil. What did Jesus say? Paul,
my grace is sufficient.
Don't worry about it. My grace is sufficient. You don't need to feel better the way you want to feel better. You don't need to try and forget what I've redeemed you from. No, my grace is enough, and forget about you. Drop your ego, drop your pride, drop needing to feel the way you need to feel, and feel my presence.
It's time to break into a song after that.
That's our faith at work.
Yes.
Yeah.
And one of the things that has really changed me since being under your ministry is the whole aspect of no matter what you're going through, worship God. Mm. Worship God. Because I would be doing that. I would be, I must have demons attacking me. I'm going to pray, cast those demons out, and find scripture that is going to speak to those demons. And when I started coming to PFC and listening to you preach and hearing just worship over and over and over. And you would think a worship leader, that has been leading for quite some time would get it. You would think I would, but again, being in these circles where they say, you need to do this, you need to do that. And God just says, just worship me.
Yeah.
And that has radically changed my life. And it leads me to the whole camera thing that we talked about before. We talked about focus and focus being so important as a camera operator. If I'm not in focus, we're doing a live show, let's say with The Voice, and I'm not in focus, I lose my job. It's just a fact. I often compare focus, and I've always wanted to do this, because you have a viewfinder, you're looking at your viewfinder, you're seeing what you're shooting, and sometimes the viewfinder is in focus, sometimes you need to dial the viewfinder in, sometimes you're just completely out of focus on the lens. I compare that a lot to Christianity, because we can be focused on all the wrong things. I could have this bad thing in focus.
Good.
I can have this bad thing in focus and have all these good things of God out of focus. And it really hit me hard, because having the right focus, being focused on the right thing, because we want to focus on, my faith isn't strong enough. We want to focus on principalities of darkness, but we don't want to focus on God is loving, God is merciful, God is good. He's always there. He will never leave you nor forsake you. We focus on the wrong things. And I really think that, because I have camera operator friends that will be watching this, I really want them that are Christians, that I think really could use a word from you based on what we focus on, what we spend our time on, what we put our attention and our minds to. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So I'd love for you to address the whole focus issue in the camera and what we're focusing on, if you would.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you more proficient at your job when you're terrified of losing your job, or when you know you've got it in the bag?
Woo. When I know I have it in the bag.
Yeah, and you don't really have to think about it, I would imagine. And why is that? Well, experience, yeah, but what did experience do for you? Gave you confidence.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm asking you, do you go to work terrified that you're going to lose your job every time?
No.
Okay, why?
Because I'm confident.
Yeah.
And it comes from experience.
It's faith. Let faith have its perfect work, so you become experienced, you become steadfast, knowing that the trying of your faith is there to do exactly that, to build that confidence in you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When? Well, he leads me beside in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
yep,
I feel the same. I fear no evil. Why?
For thou art with me.
Not because you're walking through the valley of shadow of death. So the picturesque experience is maybe disappeared. Now you're walking through not green pastures, not still waters, now the shadow of death. I fear no evil. But the church uses its faith because it fears evil and is trying to overcome what it's afraid of. Not use your faith to be applied to who you believe in. So he's more revealed in us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Fear no evil. Hear me? Fear no evil. Christians that are fighting devils and demons, and they mean it right. They've been taught that. I was taught that.
Mm-hmm.
I was that guy, because that's what we were taught we had to do.
Yep.
You know? But when I stop fearing evil, evil stop bothering me. I fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me.
So good.
Your rod and your staff, which represent correction, direction, instruction, they comfort me. They don't make me angry. They don't make me push back. They focus my attention on the steps that you're ordering before me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Where do you prepare a table before me? Sometimes in the presence of my enemies.
Yes.
You anoint my head with oil there. My cup runs over. And I love this part. Only good, only goodness and mercy, only good will happen to me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. But I know people say, wait. Only good. What do you mean? Do you know all the bad that's happened? I know all the things that may have, I don't know, but I know the things that have happened in my life that look pretty bad. But that's where faith says, is this bad? I mean, did you go off the track? Are you not hearing the voice of the Father? Did God not give you the measure of faith? Is he not always with you? Is he or is he not your shepherd? My sheep hear my voice, a stranger they'll not follow. How can I be out of order if my faith really believes in all things God is with me? So what looks bad, it looked bad on the cross for Jesus, right?
Right.
But it was good.
Right.
God uses bad like clay in his hands to make it good. Joseph said, what you, my brothers, intended as harm and evil against me, that was the very clay God used to elevate me to save you. The only clay God has is our faith. He deemed it that way. He wants it that way. The only clay God has to take this world and be glorified in it is through the faith he's given to us. We are the clay. Our faith is the clay in the potter's hands, and he will make a glorious vessel that pleases him. And when God is pleased with who he's made us to believe we are and to be, then we're going to be pleased. And then we can say, only good can happen to me. May not look the way I want it to, may look bad, may look, devastating, but we have to believe the word of the Lord. If God is with me, if God is leading me, only God is happening to me. Only God is happening to me. So if God is happening to me, good is happening to me. No matter what it looks like, and out of the most difficult, challenging situations, if you'll, as James said, count it joy, guys, hold on. Let faith do the work that needs to be done in you. Steadfastness. God will do something exceeding abundant and beyond all you know to ask or think. Mm-hmm. And honestly, get ego out of the way. I've said this many times. It's incredible what God will do to get us over ourselves.
Yes, isn't that the truth? And because we try to define good,
yeah,
what
we
good
do.
Is. Wow. And I love that. What'd you say? What God is?
Only good can happen to me.
Only God can happen to me.
Only God can happen to me.
That is so good.
Yes.
We're getting... Yeah. But it's so funny because, this morning, Jeremiah 18:6, look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand.
Yeah. And that's what
my
God's
goodness.
Saying. Yeah. Trust me, Ray. Trust me, Ray's friends. Trust me out there,
yes.
Everyone. Trust me. Trust me. I know it looks bad. I know it looks like it got messed up. The word says it became marred in the potter's hands. In whose hands?
The potter's
hands. Devil? The evil one, the guy, the gal that doesn't like you, trying to get your position, talk bad about you. No, I'm in the potter's hands. No matter what, the steps of the just are ordered of the Lord. All things work together.
All things.
Whose hands were you in?
The potter's
hands. Only God can happen to me.
And God's ways are perfect.
Oh, his way is perfect. I love that. Yeah. God's so good.
He is so good.
God's so great.
I just, I thank you for just being able to ask you these questions. I thank you for being able to come on here. And I think there's other questions that people have that just want to know, hey, am I following God? Am I being who God wants me to be? Am I doing what God wants me to do? And I from when I talk to you, I think that you would just say, just worship him and you'll get all your answers.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Worshiping him, here's the thing. Worshiping God is all the warfare. Worshiping God. Worshiping God. Listen, and we've talked about this many times, addressing the devil. There's one thing the devil wanted, and he gets it more from the church than anybody else. He wanted to feel like God. He wanted to feel like he was omnipresent. He wanted to feel like he was in charge, at least part of the time. He loves being evaluated as an enemy. He loves that talk. He loves to be acknowledged. There's only one thing we need to take away from the devil, and that's the attention we have been giving him. Take that away, and the devil is stripped out of your life because the only way he can affect you is when you believe in him and his ability to do so. If you take all that attention, all that energy, all that focus, and worship God, that's really all that I'm talking about. I'm saying there's one God. Hear, O nations of the earth, the Lord our God, he is one. Worship him and him alone. Give him all the praise, the glory, and the honor. I will acknowledge you in all my ways, and you will direct my path.
Amen.
That's it. It's as simple as saying there's only one God. Worship him as God, and nothing else matters. You have the faith God has given you, and we're not responsible for the measure that we have, because the Word says he has given to everyone exactly the measure that you need. So the answer from God's mouth himself is you have all the faith you need. You don't need God to give you any more faith. You just need to live by it and stop questioning it. Stop doubting that you have it. You want to overcome? Make a declaration. The Lord is with me in all things. I have the faith of God in Christ that dwells in me. So God's faith, Christ's faith dwells in me. God has confidence in the faith he's given you. That's why he's given you the word and said, just trust me and stop letting outcomes dictate how much faith you have. Whew. And let the word of God dictate what that is. I have the full measure that I need to do everything and anything God has called me to do. And not only that, I'm walking in it. And my eyes can't determine what God is wanting to do or what God is doing, but my faith can. And my faith says he's doing everything that pleases him in my life, and he's leading me in the way that I should go.
And this is the best season of your life.
This is the greatest season of
my life. Greatest season of your life.
Ray, thank you so much for joining me. What a great, great time. We appreciate you. My family and I, we just are so thankful for you being a part of what God's called us to do. And this is the body. This is the body of Christ. And we're all learning and growing every day, line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little, but a little is a lot. When God's in the middle of it, and he is all in all. So God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you.
Love to do this again.
I would love to. It would be a privilege.
Until next time, keep the faith. God is with you no matter what. God bless. Next time.